Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Listen, last week, Pastor Michael opened up this sermon series on the topic of joy. And we're in the Christmas season, so it seems appropriate, right? The topic of joy. I'm going to be honest with you. This topic frustrates me a little bit. And I know it sounds weird. You say, well, how can the topic of joy frustrate you? The topic of joy frustrates me in the fact that I don't feel that I have the measure of joy that I really want. I feel like as a Christian, I should have a greater measure of joy. Do you guys connect with that? Do you guys say to yourselves, you know, I wish I had more joy in my life? In fact, I'll be honest with you. I had a conversation with my wife, Mandy, not too long ago. And I said, it feels like joy is absent from my household. And this is a promise of God. Amen? Joy is a promise of God. And I'm not saying that I don't have any joy at all. And I have these moments of joy. But I'll be honest with you. Even in those moments, they seem to vanish or flutter away quickly. It doesn't seem to last. I don't seem to have this lasting joy that I think I should have. As a believer, I believe that I should have a greater measure of joy. Is anyone else like that in this room? I feel like I should have a greater measure of joy. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to open up the Word of God, and I want us to find and discover the pathway to lasting joy. Jesus calls it joy complete. Amen? You know, a lot of times when you listen to messages about increasing your joy, you'll hear instruction about increasing your measure of gratitude. You know, hey, if you want to increase the measure of joy in your life, you must increase your awareness and your gratitude. And gratitude is the pathway to greater joy. Now, I will tell you that I agree that gratitude can illuminate, or gratitude can make joy more aware in our life, or it can brighten joy in our life. But I don't know if gratitude can produce joy. See, I don't know if gratitude can produce joy. I don't know if gratitude has the lasting effects that I'm looking for. I'm looking for a heavenly joy. I am looking for an eternal joy. I'm looking for a joy that has substance to it. And I don't know if having gratitude can produce that lasting effect in my life. Because my question is this: how can we have gratitude for material things in a perishing world and think that that's going to give us this heavenly or eternal joy? How? How is having gratitude for material things going to give us this eternal joy? See, I don't believe that having gratitude, that it has enough spiritual calisthenics to it that will help produce joy, lasting joy, and as Jesus calls it, joy complete. See, only Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit can put joy inside the soul of a man. Material things can touch the exterior, but only Jesus can put joy in the soul of a man. Amen? So this morning, what I'm looking for is not just a moment of joy. I'm not looking just to have gratitude and have appreciation for the material things in my life. I am in search of heavenly joy, gospel joy this morning. Amen? So if you will, turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 9. And we are going to find, and we are going to discover, and we are going to locate the gospel's approach to producing joy in our life. All right? And there's two different locations of scripture that we're going to look at today. And the first thing that I want to do is I want to establish the understanding of what is the gospel's approach to producing joy in our life. And then we're going to take that understanding and we are going to overlap it with some instruction and imagery that is provided to us by the Apostle Paul. All right, so let's go. John chapter 15, verse 9. It reads this. This is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I have told you this, that my joy will be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. This is a powerful scripture. Amen. This is the gospel's approach. This is the pathway to joy. And let's take a look at this. First, what Jesus says is this: as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And in the gospel's approach to finding joy, the first thing that Jesus shows us and illustrates is this. As he says, as love is received, love then should be inspired to be released. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And he's showing us, he says, love received should inspire love released. Right? And then he says this, he says, now remain in my love. Listen, every time I speak, I challenge every single one of you in the congregation to remain connected to Jesus every single day. And I think the simplest discipline in doing that is to spend 15 minutes in the Word of God every day. And then spend 15 minutes in prayer. And when you do that, that will become your minimum standard of time spent with Jesus. And when that happens, you are literally like the imagery in John. You are a branch that is connected to the vine. You have this daily relationship with Christ. You have this alive and vibrant relationship with Christ. Amen? You can't remain in Jesus' love and be in no man's land with God. All right? It takes a daily discipline of being connected to the vine. And Jesus says, I want you to remain in my love. And then he says this. He says, when you remain in my love, you will obey my commands. And my command is this: I want you to love one another. So what Jesus is saying is this, is as you have this daily relationship with me, there is this exchange. And the exchange is this: as you are connected to me, you are going to receive from me this gospel love each and every day. Each and every day, the love that you receive by remaining in the love of Christ is new and it's fresh. His grace, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness, his patience, his instruction, the Word of God, it becomes alive in your life. Right? And he says, you are going to receive this amazing love from me. And that receiving that amazing love should inspire you to release this gospel love to others. As you receive this amazing love, it should naturally, the natural byproduct is to release this amazing selfless love to others. It's the natural byproduct. It's like if you lay out in the sun, the natural byproduct is you are going to get tan. If you bask in the presence of God and you receive love from God, the natural byproduct should be you releasing love. And listen to what Jesus says. He says this. He says, when you do this, I will put my joy inside of you, and your joy then will be complete. Isn't that amazing? He says, I will put my joy in you. See, material things and appreciation for things in a perishing world can only touch the exterior of a man. But only Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can he put joy inside the soul of a man. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not looking for moments of joy. I'm not looking for this appreciation of things in my life. I am hungry for heavenly joy in my life. Are you with me this morning? And I believe that there's more to be had. And so as I struggle with not having the joy that I want in my life, I then first have to ask myself, have I obeyed this command? I mean, this is the pathway. This is the recipe. Have I obeyed it? Have I remained every day in devotion with God? Am I connected to Christ in the way that I should? And then the next question I have to ask is, if I am, and when I'm doing that, have I loved others? And Jesus is the most excellent example of this. He says, greater love no one than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. Isn't that amazing? Listen, I have lots of friends in this room. Eddie Harden is a friend of mine. But lay down my life? Right? I mean, if some men walked in here with like machine guns and they were like, tell us where Eddie Harden is. I'm like, he's over there. Like, you're gone. I'm coughing you up, man. I mean, I'm not Chuck Norris. I don't know what you want me to do, okay? But to lay down your life, that is the example. And what we have to understand is this, is that Jesus and the Word of God will always give us this aim that we could never naturally achieve ourselves. But you can achieve it through the power of His Spirit. I'm not saying that even with that I'm going to lay down my life, but I'm just saying you can. Okay? And so this is the pathway to joy. And so we got to ask ourselves, okay, if this is the pathway to joy, am I connected to God like I should be? And then the question is, have I released this amazing selfless love to others? Because this is what the Word of God says. The measure of joy in your life then hinges upon the measure of love released. Right? And again, I'm telling you, I struggle with this. I struggle with this at times. I should have more joy in my life, but that then tells me that I am not releasing enough love or remaining in His love in the way that I should. Right? Now, let's take this understanding that we just established, and I want to overlap it with some imagery that the Apostle Paul gives us. So if you will, do me a favor. Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Let me set this up really quick. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the early church in Corinth. Now, I want to use the imagery in this, okay? This block of scripture does not fit our teaching precisely. Okay, but what I want to use is Paul's imagery here, because his imagery is something that we can use, and his imagery has this eschatology to it, which means this. His imagery has this end times lens to it. It's got this heavenly perspective on it, okay? And so if you look at this, this doesn't totally match up with what we're talking about today, but the imagery I want to use because it does. And this is what the Word of God says. This is Paul, and he's talking to the Corinth church. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring to it light. And it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss and yet be saved, only as one escaping through the flames. Okay? Now, what I want to use here is I want to use this lens that Paul establishes on this heavenly perspective on this builder, okay? And this is what Paul says. He says, listen, I came to Corinth and I laid down this foundation to this temple. This is the imagery. And he says, I laid down this foundation, and the foundation is Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. Paul laid this foundation down, Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. And then he says this, he says, now you are going to build upon this foundation. And he gives this charge, he says, you need to build as a wise builder. You need to use wisdom. And he then names six different elements, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, straw. He names these six elements, and all of these elements are used in construction. Wood, straw, hay, how do you make bricks? Okay? You make bricks with straw and hay. But he says this, he says, not all of these elements will survive the fire. Not all of these elements have the qualities in them to survive the fire. And the fire reveals. And see, the fire reveals in a way that the fire separates between the worldly and the heavenly. He says, your work will be shown for what it is. And the fire will consume. And out of the six elements, three will survive, but three will perish in the fire. All of them are used for construction. But not everything is going to survive. Okay? Now, this is how I want to use this imagery for us today. Ladies and gentlemen, at the core of who we are, at our foundation, should be Christ crucified and the power of the resurrection, right? That should be the foundation of our heart, should be the foundation of our life. Paul says this, he says, are you not aware that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? So in your temple, the foundation of who you are should be Christ crucified and the power of the resurrection. But then he says this, upon that foundation, you are going to build. And he gives this charge, he says, you need to build as a wise builder. You need to build as a wise builder. And then he names these six elements. All of them are used in construction. All of them are used for building the temple. But only three of them will survive. And what he says is this, is that those elements that survive are elements that have already been refined. The gold has been refined. The silver has been refined. The costly stones, the precious stones have been refined already. And those things are consistent with the foundation. They complement the foundation. And that foundation of your life is what? Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection. That foundation is a selfless love. And those elements complement selfless love. Those elements have been refined and they can handle the revealing of the fire. It will endure all time because it's been refined by love. Ladies and gentlemen, at the core of who we are, it must be Christ crucified and the power of the resurrection. And yes, every single one of us is building upon that. But a lot of what we're building is just throwing bricks on top of our foundation, right? It's wood, it's straw, it's hay, it's life. It's life. And I don't know about you, but when I come to this point of the year, I'm exhausted. Because I have spent so much time just throwing brick on top of brick upon this foundation. And it's exhausting. Whether it's taking the girls to gymnastics or dance or trying to work out so I can look like Josh Mitchell or trying to pay all the bills and trying to do all these things, we have to understand that not all of those things are going to carry with us. A lot of those things will not survive the pressure of the fire. A lot of those things don't have heavenly qualities to them. I know it's life and we have to do it, but I'm telling you, it won't survive the fire. Only those things that complement the foundation of selfless love will endure. Amen? And it seems like to me, so much of my focus is trying to stack as many bricks on top of bricks as fast as I can. And I say to myself, I don't have the measure of joy that I should. And the reason being is because I'm stacking so many bricks, but I'm not taking any time out to look at what's been stacked and say, you know what? I can place a little gold here and a little silver here. And all my busyness of stacking bricks, maybe I can take pause and I can place some selfless love here and some selfless love there. Maybe I can say no to all these brick stacking moments and maybe just center myself and spend a little more time with God. Because in stacking bricks, the reward is not joy. Right? And so as someone who's really hungry for heavenly joy, I then have to take a look at the pathway of how the gospel says that it's created in my life. And it's to remain in his love and then release his love. Now, let me tell you this. It's very difficult speaking the word of God because God will make you eat what you cook. All right? You preach on patience, guess what? It's going to be a tough week. You're going to learn some patience, right? And I need to start preaching like money cometh or something, you know. I'm going to be that prosperity preacher. I'm going down the wrong path here. But you will have to, I mean, when you start speaking the word of God, God's not interested in you just conveying some information. He wants you to live it. It's real time. He wants you to be active in it. And so I'm studying for this message, and I'm like, God, I really am hungry for more joy. And I know that God's like, I want you to begin to start releasing more love. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. And so I want to tell you how God has illuminated three different locations of where to place these moments of selfless love in our stack of bricks, all right? And let me just start off. There's three different locations. There's the stranger, there's the family member, and the friend. And let me tell you my accounts and make this real for you. Let me start off with the stranger. About 2 weeks ago when we had that freezing rain, I was driving and I saw this guy walking by North Hopkins High School. And he's in the freezing rain and the Holy Spirit was like, you need to pick him up, okay? And now, you know, I pick up hitchhikers now and then and I know Mandy's probably going to get mad at me about all that. But, you know, I pick up a hitchhiker now and then again, okay? And I was just, and I was just like, ugh, okay? Like, I've done this, and I'm just like, I'm not in the mood for this, but I feel like God's putting this on my heart. And I just know, like, my car is always super clean. I'm kind of that guy, all right? And so my car's clean. This guy's out in the freezing rain. I know he's got, like, his shoes are trashed. I just know it, all right? And I'm a terrible person because this is what I'm thinking. I'm letting you know the quality of my heart right now, okay? I'm like, my floor mats are going to get dirty, and this guy's in the rain, all right? So I'm a terrible person. I got it, all right? But I pick him up, and I'm like, hey, man. And right before I pick him up, I just know this guy's going to tell me that he needs to go, like, to the other side of Dawson Springs or something, right? It's going to be like a 30-minute drive, and then I know I'm going to have to listen to his sad story. And it always starts off with, man, this is a nice car. I used to have a nice car. And you're like, oh, you know, and then he tells you this sad story. And I know after I drop him off, after hearing this sad story, I'm going to have to flip him a 20, and then I'm going to have to go home and explain to Mandy why I'm 30 minutes late for whatever, right? And so I get him in the car, and I'm like, where do you need to go? He goes, man, I walk an hour every day to work. He goes, I work at the Ideal Market right next to Backyard Burger. So I'm like a mile away now. I'm like, all right. And so I get him in the car. He does trash my car, but it's another story. But I get him in the car, and he's just so appreciative. I mean, he goes, man, I was walking this freezing rain. He goes, I walk an hour every day to work. Take him to Ideal, and I drop him off. Tell him a little bit about Covenant, and listen to this. He then takes out $2 and throws it on my lap, and he says, I want to give you some gas money. And I'm like, oh, no, you cannot give me gas money. Like, you cannot. So now me and this guy are fighting over who's going to take this money, right? And, like, my whole preconceived idea was this is going to be, like, a 30-minute drive. It's going to be a terrible story. It's actually a good story. He walks an hour every day to go to work, and then he throws money on my lap. Like, this is the complete opposite of what I conjured up in my mind. And I dropped him off, and I was like, and I felt like God was like, you don't know everything. And so, guys, let me just tell you, I don't want you all picking up a bunch of hitchhikers. That's not the point of the story. But I will tell you this, that there are people every day in our brick-stacking life that if we would just take pause for a moment, it took me literally 5 minutes to do that act of love. And those opportunities are everywhere. Everywhere. Amen? Let's talk about family. So the other day, this week, and I'm living this message, right? So I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, God, like, you know, when you prick my heart, I'm going to move. You know, be careful saying that. So the other morning, I got up, and my daughter, Maddie, just convinced us to get her a bunny rabbit, okay, about 4 months ago. And so this bunny rabbit lives outside in a cage. Now, let me tell you, this cage is like next level, okay? So don't feel bad for the bunny rabbit because he lives in like the Ritz-Carlton of all bunny rabbit cages. All right, he's got it made, all right? But he lives outside, and we have to feed him every morning. And so we make Maddie do it, right? Well, this morning she was running late. She's like, Dad, can you help feed Mr. Fluffles? And I was like, oh. So I'm like, sure, all right, I'll do it. So I go outside, and it's the and I'm not a morning person. Like, don't talk to me in the morning. My oldest daughter, Erin, she's just like me. When I take her to school, we don't say a word to each other in the morning. I mean, and it's awesome. We're like, you know, she walks out the car, and it's awesome. That's just how we are. So I'm not a morning person, and I walk outside. I'm feeding Mr. Fluffles, and I walk in, and my shoes are covered with mud. So now I'm so mad because of this gross misjustice that has happened to me because I had to feed Mr. Fluffles, right? So I had this terrible moment with my family. Now, I didn't like swear or anything, you know. I didn't like go irate. But it's morning time, and I am going to let the entire family know that the injustice that just happened to me will never happen again, okay? Mr. Fluffles will never eat again. I don't care. All right? Later that day, I'm driving by Maddie's school, and I feel like the Holy Spirit just pricked my heart and was like, what if that's the last time you ever talk to Maddie? And I was like, oh, stupid Mr. Fluffles. And I felt like God was like, I want you to go in and make it right. So I pull into Hanson, all right? And I get her out of class, and I have this, like, thought in my head, like, you know, I'm going to get her out of class, and we're going to sit down. They got little benches right there, and I'm going to tell her I'm sorry. She's going to cry and hug me. Teachers are going to walk by and just be like, he's such an amazing father. And it's just everyone's going to, it's a Hallmark moment, right? It's going to be a great moment. So I get Maddie out of class, and she comes by, and we do sit on those little benches out there, and it feels more like we're both in detention than anything. Like, I feel like we're both about to see the principal. And so I'm sitting there, and I look at her, and she's, like, looking at me, and I go, I got to tell you something. I just got to tell you something. She's like, what, Dad, what? I go, I'm sorry I got mad about feeding Mr. Fluffles. And she looked at me and said this. She goes, you got me out of class to tell me this? She said, I'll see you later, Dad. Gets up and turns around and walks away. Like, no magical moment at all. I was like, my God, she acts just like her mom. I'm telling you, like, you know. And so I get in the car and I was like, well, that's a waste of time. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me this, like, no, the exercise was for you, not her. Because I really only get to see my kids for about 3 hours a day. If you really add up how much time you actually have interacting and being engaged with your kids, it's not a lot. And do I need that time to be tainted with this anger or whatever it was? And so I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, that's for you, so that next time you'll remember this. The last thing is this, is we have opportunities to bless our friends, okay? I have an awesome job because I get to talk to people about Christ and faith and love every day. It's my job. It's the best job in the world. I get to disciple people. And I was in my office, and I've been praying for this guy who is just a warrior right now. He's doing a 180 in his life. He's got a terrible story of his upbringing was really hard and this and that. But man, he is like latched on to God and faith, and he is fighting every day. Those are like two champions to me, right? Now, they might not look all, you know, perfected. They might not have that look that we think all church people should have or whatever. But I'm telling you, he is a warrior. Like, I'd rather have that look of hunger and desperation for the things of God than any other look, right? And so I was praying for this guy, and during this time, I am like, this time of year for me is stressful because it's like financially hard, all right? My wife is like the Oprah Winfrey of Christmas giving. Like, you know, you get a $50 gift, and you get a $50 gift. And, I mean, I'm like, how many people are we giving $50 gifts to? Like, enough, you know? And so I get stressed out during this time of year. I am, you know? And it gets to me, I'm like, don't buy me anything. You know, don't spend any more money, you know? And so I'm in my office, and I'm praying for this guy. And I felt like God said, I want you to go give him a $50 bill. I'm like, come on. I had a $50 bill because that's my weekly allowance. Yes, that's how it works. I get a $50 bill every week, and I love it. It is everything to me, you know, my weekly allowance. And so I felt like God was like, I want you to give your $50 bill to him. And I was like, oh, man. And this guy is like a tough guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he's like kind of like really new into this. And I'm like, man, I don't know how this is going to go down. Like, this is awkward. This is not a, you know, like an easy exchange. Like we are friends, but we're not like super close. This is kind of like a new thing for us, all right? And so I'm in my office, and I felt like God's like, I want you to go to his work right now and give him this $50 bill. I'm like, oh, man. See, in my mind, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'll wait till he gets to church. I'll slip it in his Bible, or maybe I'll put it in the pocket of his jacket, you know, and he wouldn't have to know it's for me. And he got the 50. I gave the 50. We met the criteria. God's happy with us. I get my joy. Everything's good, right? But God was like, I want you to do it face to face. I just knew it face to face. And I'm like, come on, man. And I know I'm not laying down my life for a friend, but I'm going to tell you, man, it can feel that way sometimes, right? When you're just like, ugh. You know? Right? So I get the $50 bill. I go to his work. And I go in there, and I'm like, okay, so God's going to orchestrate this thing, right? His work, he works at a retail place, and the thing's packed. Customer after customer. I can never get him over to me. And then when I did, I was like, all right, man, hey, I just want you to know that, man, God put this on my heart. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to embarrass you. But I feel like God wants me to give you this. And I want you to know that there's someone else out there who's praying and thinking about you. And this tough guy started like welding up a little bit. And I was like, all right, man, we got to go. And he's like, yeah, all right. And we went on, right? Totally awkward exchange. But it was an act of selfless love. You have a stranger, you have a family member, and you have a friend. And he says, to what measure are we to love one another? He says, to the point that you lay down your life for someone else. Okay? Well, maybe we're not there yet. Maybe we can just like pause life just enough with all of our brick stacking to dress it up with some of these moments of selfless love. Let's start there, right? And I'll tell you, like, I'm not gonna tell you that, you know, I did these three things and I have so much joy. I mean, I can light that sign up myself. I'm not gonna tell you that I have that. But I will tell you that all of these moments have been mounting, and they do matter, and that the more of this that I have done in the last 2 weeks, the easier it is for me to do it, right? Like, when I have a little nudge from the Holy Spirit, I'm quicker to react. I'm quicker to do it. I don't know if you're like me and you're hungry for heavenly joy. It is a promise that God gives us. But we have to fulfill this command of remaining in love with him and then releasing that love to others. Life is busy. We're stacking bricks. But not everything we're going to do, not all our energy, not all of our resources have a heavenly quality to them. Not all of it survives the fire. Only those moments that are refined that complement the foundation. And those moments are moments of love. And if you want greater joy, this is the pathway to it. So my challenge to you is this. Find a moment. It's there. Guys, we can throw out so many different scenarios and role play this. There are so many things that you can do. It doesn't have to be so tough every time. It could be something small. Buy someone a coffee. Do something small for somebody else. Sometimes just a compliment. Sometimes just someone saying, hey, you look nice today. Listen, the moments are small, but they're powerful and real. Amen? And when you start saying yes to these things, you'll find out that it becomes easier and easier and easier. And these things begin to mount, and that joy is our promise from God. Y'all get anything out of this? Amen. All right, let's stand as we dismiss and pray. Again, guys, do me a favor. Next week, do me just a favor and let's honor our pastor and bless him. Get a card, write a note, put a gift in there, and let's bless him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will touch every single one of us and lead us to these moments. Help us to have the courage and the bravery to say yes. God, reveal these moments of love and let it become real, God. God, I pray that we can just pause from stacking bricks and just make connection with you, remain in your love, and in that, help us to release that amazing love to others. Bless us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.